WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. We have the latest on a Stanton man detained by ICE, now back home with his family. New state funding lowers health insurance premiums for about 200,000 Virginians enrolled in the state's marketplace. And adoption in Virginia gets a big boost from a private nonprofit. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, July 9th. Over the past year, WMRA has been following the saga of one young family from Central America caught up in federal immigration policy. This spring, the father was released after spending 9 months in the Caroline detention facility. But the family's future remains uncertain. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
Listeners may remember the previous stories WMRA has reported about a young couple, Olman and Layla, who escaped horrific gang violence in Central America and settled in Stanton in 2023. Olman survived a brutal arson attack and subsequent death threats in their home country before he, Layla, and their first child fled north. They began building a life in the U.S. and celebrated the birth of their second child. Olman was detained at a voluntary check-in at an Immigration and Customs Enforcement office in June 2025, despite having no criminal record. For the first time, we finally got to speak to him in person.
Mucho gusto. Para los que aún no saben de mí, mi nombre es Olman.
His kids, ages 2 and 9, played in the background while we talked. Luella Hill, who helped start a local immigrants aid organization called La Familia Fund, translated for us. As in our previous reporting, we've withheld the family's last name and exact country of origin due to their fears of persecution if they are forced to return.
Pues gracias a todos.
I'm thankful for all the people that have supported me and allowed me to come home.
It was an extremely difficult situation to be away from my wife and away from my children. We had no idea when we would be together again, and it feels like it was the work of angels that brought us together.
Olman was held at the Caroline Detention Facility for 9 months. During that time, his application for withholding of removal was denied. That application is essentially asylum for those technically ineligible for it, yet credibly facing persecution if returned to their home country. He appealed this decision in November, and that case is still open. The detention was difficult for him to talk about.
The detention situation was horrible and nearly indescribable to say how it was. I was able to speak with my wife and my children every day, and that's what kept me going.
During this time, Layla's asylum case, which also applied to their 9-year-old daughter, was opposed by the Department of Homeland Security, and the immigration judge ordered that they self-deport by April. They have appealed this outcome, which has allowed them to stay in the country for now, although in a precarious legal situation.
I was not the only one suffering. It was so much suffering for my wife and for my children in this time when I was in the detention.
Olman's incarceration was indefinite until the couple got a new attorney who filed a successful habeas corpus petition, a way to challenge detention as unlawful. ProPublica reports that detained immigrants across the country have filed nearly 60,000 such petitions since January 2025, more cases than were filed in the past 3 administrations combined. A federal judge ruled that the government should not have held Olman longer than 6 months, since he had an ongoing immigration case and they had no evidence he posed any risk to the community. The judge also noted that DHS appeared to falsify a notice that they claim was served to Olman before he was taken into custody, quote, which is consistent with federal respondents' habit of issuing such notices retrospectively and only after detaining a non-citizen. The judge ordered Olman released in March. Olman had a prophetic dream the night before he was notified.
I had a strange dream one night that I was going to get out. I just had to keep faith. And a day later, I woke up at my normal time, 7 o'clock, for breakfast, and I was going to eat the milk and cereal when someone said to me, "You have a phone call in the office." And I walked in, and there was an immigration official, and he said I had to sign some papers.
He didn't want to at first. They were written in English, and he thought they might be deportation papers. Once an officer translated the documents for him,
que lloré mucho, pero de felicidad.
I was crying so much, but it was happiness. I couldn't believe that it could happen, that I could be with my family again. The moment when I came into the house and I saw them, my wife and my children again, I just knew I could never leave them alone again.
Almost 4 months later, he's mostly back to a normal life, working construction and spending time with his family. But there was a dark adjustment period.
I wasn't psychologically okay. I was pretty confused, like I was scared to leave the house. But the warmth of my family and the love of my wife, it helped me come back. It helped me feel okay again.
The future remains in shadow, though. Their immigration appeals are still in the hands of the courts. DHS has appealed Ullman's release. And later this year, Ullman has another ICE check-in at the same Richmond office where he was detained over a year ago.
My goal is for me to never be separated from my family again. The truth is I have an appointment coming up, and that just strikes fear in my heart.
La Familia Fund is collecting donations for the legal fees of this family and others affected by immigration policy. Checks can be written out to Trinity Episcopal Church in Stanton with a memo designating the donation for La Familia Fund. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
Find all our reporting on Ullman and Layla's story and other local immigration topics at WMRA.org and on our app. About 100,000 Virginians lost their marketplace health insurance late last year after federal subsidies expired and premiums surged. Cardinal News reports that a new state program could help many of them afford coverage again. The General Assembly approved a new health insurance affordability program as part of Virginia's state budget, directing $150 million to reduce premiums for qualifying marketplace enrollees. The funding will lower monthly premiums for about 200,000 Virginians. By this time next year, Virginia will have retailers selling recreational marijuana. Radio IQ's Michael Pope tells us more about where the stores will be located.
More than 300 licenses will be awarded to businesses that want to open up retail locations selling recreational marijuana as early as next summer. Senator LaCharisse Aird is a Democrat from Petersburg who introduced legislation creating the marketplace, and she says the Cannabis Control Authority will prevent stores from being clustered in places like Charlottesville, Richmond, and Arlington.
There are provisions within the legislation that not only require the Cannabis Control Authority to take into account how close together some of these licenses may be, but also to provide the General Assembly with an analysis that they have done that.
On the opposite end of the spectrum from stores clustered together is cannabis deserts, places where local governments use their zoning authority to deny any and all applications. Here's Cannabis Public Health Advisory Council Vice Chairman Negist Abebe.
A desert is also a public health problem, just like clustering is a public health problem. Because what we know from states like California that use local opt-out, you know, you still cannot access a legal dispensary in over 50% of California. And what happens? The void is filled by illegal, unregulated, untaxed operators.
Businesses will not be allowed to have more than 5 licenses each, a provision designed to prevent big businesses from monopolizing the marketplace. Michael Pope.
Virginia Lieutenant Governor Ghazala Hashmi has weighed in on the proposed Dominion Energy Next Era merger. Hashmi wrote in a letter to state regulators this week that they should move to get as much information as possible out of the utilities before a merger application is filed. That's because once the application comes in, regulators have at most 6 months to review it. Utility experts and some state politicians say that's not enough time, and Hashmi agrees. If it goes through, the merger would create the largest public utility in the world. Adoption in Virginia is on the upswing, but a grant from a fast food chain's nonprofit could see those numbers increase even more. Radio IQ's Brad Kuttner reports.
There are about 75 more children adopted in the Commonwealth in 2025 than in 2024, but there are still about 1,700 in search of a home. That's where folks like Chad Alls of the Floyd County Department of Social Services come in.
Most families that want to adopt want a newborn so that they can raise the child. Every year, it gets a little more difficult to find that adoptive placement.
But Alls is getting some help via an expansion of a partnership program from the Dave Thomas Foundation.
Come for a hamburger and leave with a house. Now that's a value.
Come to Wendy's
yes,
today.
That Dave Thomas. Rita Sorenin is president of the Dave Thomas Foundation. They're not linked to Wendy's directly, but Sorenin said the burger maker got into adoption because he himself was adopted. The foundation runs Wendy's Wonderful Kids, a grant program to support state-level adoption initiatives. And Virginia is about to expand its program from 3 to 15 adoption recruiters. Sorenin said those recruiters have 3 times the level of success of normal adoption workers.
We started it as a pilot project. We called it Wendy's Wonderful Kids because our Wendy's partners across the United States franchisees began to fundraise in their restaurants and dedicated those funds to the foundation so that we could dedicate them back to states to hire these adoption professionals called recruiters.
Duke Storin is with the Virginia Department of Social Services.
We've had this partnership for a number of years, and now we're able to expand it and serve even more children in foster care in Virginia.
Since 2006, the program has found homes for about 275 kids in Richmond. I'm Brad Kuttner.
3 Virginia Republicans are running to unseat Democratic Congressman Eugene Vindman in November. Dean Mirshahi with VPM News reports on the upcoming primary election.
Philip Harding, Doug Ollivant, and Ricky Smithers are facing off for the Republican nomination in Virginia's 7th Congressional District race. The contenders made their cases at a candidate forum in June. Harding is a businessman with government experience. Ollivant is a former National Security Council official who served as a U.S. Army lieutenant colonel. Smithers is a pastor who owns his own construction company. They were aligned on most issues and have made affordability a centerpiece of their campaigns. Roger Swikert left the forum impressed with all 3.
Each of them got here in a different way, but each of them expressed that their desire to serve, and I appreciate that.
The 7th district primary is August 4th, but early voting is underway.
Dean Mirshahi reporting. Finally today, there will not be a primary in Virginia's 4th congressional district this August. Instead, the Democratic incumbent Congresswoman Jennifer McClellan will face 2 independent challengers in the November election. Also with VPM News, Karis Manzanares has that story.
This race will determine who represents a district that stretches from Greater Richmond through Southwest Virginia. McClellan points to her track record when asking voters to send her back to Congress.
I meet people where they are, listen to address their needs in every corner of the district, and I will continue to do that for the next 2 years.
But one of her challengers, 25-year-old Jason Brown II, says it's time for a new generation of leadership.
Because the system is just becoming harder and harder to survive and to live under, and it's time that we were on the winning side.
The other independent candidate is Richmond Minister Andre Odell Kersey.
Karis Manzanares reporting. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Thursday.